Hello there. Welcome to the latest episode of the Women's Golf Show with me, Jenny Falconer, and my co-host, Ali Whittaker. It's been over a month since our last episode, so there is an awful lot to catch up on. The season for the pros is well and truly at the business end, so Ali will be bringing us up to date with the goings-on in the LPGA and LET. Iona Stephen catches up with an Olympic gold medalist who has golf in her DNA, and Ali and I, well, we'll speak to a truly inspiring woman keeping golfing dreams alive in war-torn Ukraine. It's been over a month, though, since the last Women's Golf Show, and it's been even longer since I was last chatting to Ali Whittaker. How are you? Where are you? Are you just off a plane? Are you exhausted, or are you awake?
I think it's a very good all of the above to that. But it is. It's so good to see you. I didn't kind of realize how long it had been until I looked at the screen and I was like, oh, Miss Jenny.
It's been like chats. 7 years. It feels like it's been a long time.
Yeah, I'm back in Melbourne. I've been on the road a lot the last couple of months, but the last 2 weeks we're in Japan for the Zozo Championship with the PGA Tour, and then last week the BMW Ladies Championship in South Korea, just outside of Seoul, which was a lot of fun. But now I landed from there this morning, so I'm happy to be upright, and thankfully we're talking about golf because you can never stop me doing that.
Excellent stuff. Have you been playing much golf?
I haven't actually had the chance. I'm really looking forward to getting back into it over summer, to be honest with you. December's going to be the time for me because I've kind of only had 10 or 12 days back home at a time in between most of the stints this year. And so I think the longest I had was about 16 days, and not all of that went to plan. So I kind of had some health stuff going on.
I should just highlight as well, when you say summer, it's because you are in the Southern Hemisphere. So yeah. You are literally, we're going into deepest, darkest winter when it's freezing and not golf friendly at all. And you're the other side. Oh, I'm jealous.
It's, yes, I will admit, I get a bit of hate mail from my mates in the UK when they see me walking around and playing the sandbelt. But likewise for me when they get the summer and it's miserable here. So it does flip flop. But I am looking forward to getting back out there a bit more this summer, which would be nice. But I've been surrounded by it, which I've been very lucky with the last few months. You've been all over the place. Well, haven't you? You went to Rome?
Yeah, I went to Rome. No golf, though, just touristing.
No golf.
No golf there. Okay. But I obviously, it's just whet my appetite to go back next year when the Ryder Cup's there. That would be nice.
Yes, do it. Marco Simone. Yeah, that was one of my kind of last trips away. We got to go and take a look at that golf course. And it's kind of, it's built for match play. Like the final four holes, if you could design what you wanted, you'd have a tough par four, an easy par four, a par five and a tough par three.
Yeah.
And it's almost like they've kind of like gone, okay, this is what we want and this is what the Ryder Cup needs, and then they built it. So it's going to be
My dog agrees. My dog agrees. Hold on. Hold on 1 second. Let me let him out the room. It looks amazing, I've got to say. So you have just got back from Japan and South Korea just this morning. That's right?
Yes. Yes, it was brilliant.
Just over a month that we haven't chatted. So there's a lot to catch up on from the world of women's professional golf. Do I just kind of have to wind you up and then press release and you're going to fill us That's in on everything now?
Yeah, all right. I'll do my best to try and recap the last month because there have been some pretty amazing stories. I think the it person of women's golf at the moment is Atiya Titikin, who secured her second win on the LPGA in her rookie season. She's very close to getting to world number one. She's already world number two. She actually had a chance to do that last week at Oak Valley, but came up just short. But I guess another story that's come out of the year was the person that she beat in the playoff in Arkansas to get that second title, which was Danielle Kang, who chipped in for eagle on the last hole to get into the playoff, which was quite remarkable given it was just her third tournament back after being treated for a tumor in her spine earlier this year. And understandably, she gave quite an emotional interview afterwards, and some of which we can hear now.
I'm just really proud that I'm even here. So obviously I wanted to win, but these are like tears of joy. It's still going to be a process, and it's a struggle almost, you know, sometimes in the morning. And I came out here to do something that I love, and I'm just so happy for my team that somehow got me back playing this year. And I mean, there was a part of me that I didn't think I'd ever play again or contend. But here I am, so I'm not that far off, and I'm happy about that.
It was so touch and go for her for a while there, and she didn't have many answers, you know, when they found out what was giving her the back pain. And it's so good to see her kind of come back to golf. I knew she wouldn't really come back until she was ready, but to see her...
She's such a remarkable recovery, like back out there already, because you would have thought that maybe she would be unable to play for a lot longer. So, it's incredible. And to get to that position as well already.
Precise. And she's challenged a couple of times since she's got back, which, yeah, like I said, is truly remarkable. And she's such a needle mover now in women's golf, because she's kind of that edgy personality. But to see her open up was actually really nice to see her honesty, and for her to share that with us, I think has led a lot of people into her fan group as well. So that's going to be kind of part of the tapestry of 2022 and women's golf. What else was there? We had two back-to-back English winners on the LPGA, and Charlie Hull, 6 years after her first win, she got her second at the Ascendant LPGA, which has been a really good return for form for her. I think she's looking better than ever to me. I wouldn't be surprised to see her pick up a couple more. The LPGA was kind of always where she said that she wanted those wins, and she wanted to kind of build a legacy over there. And she just looks really happy within herself. So I'm kind of excited for obviously the win, but also for that next chapter. A woman that has had many chapters was Jodi Hewitt-Chadoff, the woman that won the week after, who she lives in Florida now, but she's from up in Yorkshire. She's been on tour for over 10 years. It was her 246th start on tour. She's come so close over the years, played Solheim Cups, you name it. But, she's been plagued with injury. She also used to have like a longer putter. So when those rules changed, it kind of set her back a bit. But it's so brilliant to see those stories, the likes of Ash Buhai winning the Women's Open, AIG Women's Open as well. And Jodi Hewitt-Chadoff was kind of another one from the same cut of cloth, I guess. And then to round out, let me see, last weekend, I guess I should talk about Lydia Ko as well. Feel free to cut me off anytime.
No, like I'm loving it.
You've wound me up now. I'm just trying not to miss anything, really. But Lydia Ko is now pretty close to being back on top of the game. She is on top of the race to the CMA Globe with her second win of the season last week at Oak Valley. We were up in a golf/ski resort about 2 hours out of Seoul. And Jenny, it was
what
Baltic.
Is that like? What is that like? Is it, can you
cold.
See?
It's really cold. It was really cold in the morning. So
is
it was
the
a lot
ground
of
totally frozen? Because don't they close golf courses usually when it's that cold?
Yeah, well, it was about, I think when they were warming up, when I was still in bed, a very important point, it was about 2 or 3 degrees in the morning. Mm. But then it got... The caddies had to walk about 57 flights of stairs that week because there was so much elevation change up and down. I've never seen a course that goes up and down the hills as much. They usually kind of go, you know how courses in the hills go across the ridges a little bit more? Yeah, this didn't do that. So that was fun for the caddies and their calves. So she took it all. She too had a very emotional interview talking about how she really wanted to win in Korea. It was her first win in Korea where she was born. She lived there for the first 6 years of her life in Seoul before they moved to NZ, so that was great. Another good story was us signing off Na Yeon Choi, a major champion, and she actually had a hole in one that week, and so she won this massive cut. And I saw her after, and I said, "What are you going to do with the car?" She goes, "I don't have a car here. I'm keeping it." I'm actually,
yeah, oh my God, I'd love that.
Yeah, NYC or yeah, she's known, like some people call her the Big Apple and stuff. So she's been there and thereabouts on the LPGA for a decade and a half. So we wish her the best in the next part of her career. And last but not least, I guess I should give the highlight win to as well to Olivia Cowan, who won at DLF in India this past week. And she was on the first ever episode, wasn't
yeah.
she?
Yeah, she was a while ago now.
Yes, gosh, that does seem like a long time ago, doesn't it? So much has happened since then.
I feel like she's had a good year.
Yes, yeah, and she has. She's come close a lot. It was kind of a little bit more of a question of when it was going to happen, rather than if. You did have that feeling, but we've said that about people before and they haven't got it done. But I think for her, as well. That golf club is absolute carnage on 17 and 18. Like the second shot on 17, if you can picture, okay, A, it's hot. So you're hot out, you're in India, and you're looking up at like this cliff in front of you that's probably at least plus 10, plus 15 in elevation change. And you've got to hit to this tiny green in the middle of the cliff in a par four. Like, I'm going to send you pictures.
Wow,
so
I'd love to. Because all the courses I've played that have cliffs, you're hitting down, not up.
It's like, precisely. Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, and then the 18th as well. If you know, if you're trying to get a lead and to get across, you know, and try and get a win, to get across the line there, I hope that that gives her a lot of confidence, because to do so on that golf course and hold your nerve on that golf course, it's a different kind of test. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to maybe see the next time she comes in with an opportunity to win, that that drawing on that kind of experience will put her in very good stead. Could be kind of a little bit of a snowball effect perhaps for Olivia Cowan. So always nice to keep on, just keep some tabs on our prior guests.
Absolutely.
And then, yeah, I guess rankings-wise, Lynn Grant is still just leading the race to the Costa del Sol over Maya Stark a little bit. She's also taken out the Rookie of the Year title. She's also wrapped up her card for the LPGA next season. So she's just going from strength to strength and continuing to impress on her rise to the top of European golf. So that's certainly going to be a space to watch for the next coming years, but as well for the Solheim Cup next year.
Excellent. It's like you're going to take a deep breath now.
Yes, thank you. And a glass of water and exhale. Did I miss anything?
Well done.
Did I
miss anything? No, you did well. You covered it all. Now, golf, like so many things in life, feels so irrelevant when compared to some of the tragic events in Ukraine this year. I mean, such has been the disruption to life there, actually. It's hard to imagine anyone affected thinking about something as simple as a simple round of golf. But as we know from our personal experience, this sport's ability to bring people together and to provide a mental release highlight why it's still so important to many Ukrainians in the darkest of times. And one woman who believes just that and who's striving to keep the dreams alive for golf mad Ukrainians is Veronika Rastvortseva. And we're delighted to welcome her to the Women's Golf Show. Hello there, Veronika.
Hi, everyone.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm in Ukraine, but I'm good. I'm so excited to be part of the program.
Yeah, it's, do you know what, it's lovely to chat to you and it's lovely to have you as a guest here at the moment. And can I ask, you know, how did you get into golf in the first place?
All three of my daughters play golf, in fact. My husband honestly still thinks he was the one to introduce golf to my family. but the true story dates back to 2009 when I gave him a 1 month golf school certificate as a birthday gift. So for a while, I was thinking I lost my husband and my family. And this is how golf entered my life. My daughters and my husband were spending hours and hours on the golf course on weekends. And I was home alone. So I think you have an English saying, if you can't beat them, join them. So I decided to try this game and the rest is history.
Do you know what? I think so many people can relate to that. It's interesting that that is something that happens all around the world. Some members of the family go and play. There's always someone left at home feeling very left out. You've got three daughters. How old are they?
19, 15 and 11.
Oh, wow. Okay. And are they good? Are they competitive?
Yes and no. The answer will be like that. It's very different now. They love competing, but at the same time are always eager to help each other. Honestly, the war has taught them to appreciate every minute they are together now. And since golf takes up a large part of their lives, as you can imagine, I observe this more and more. They are more friendly on the course and supportive now when they play together.
Can I ask you where you are in Ukraine? Whereabouts?
I'm now in the western part of Ukraine, in my hometown called Ivano-Frankivsk, which is closer to the Polish border because it's a safer part of Ukraine.
And you're not all together, though, are you? Because is it true your eldest daughter, she's in America at the moment?
Yeah, she's playing golf at college in the US. Elvira, her name is Elvira, is at University of California, Davis, and playing golf. She returned to her studies shortly before the war started and thankfully didn't have to experience all this horror. Of course, war still had an impact on her and being far away from her family, as you can imagine. But at the same time, it was very crucial to me she should stay away and visualize Ukraine as it had been throughout her life, at least for the time being. She tried to convince me, you know, Mom, let's make a visit and that it wouldn't affect her.
But yeah, gosh, it must be so hard for her just seeing what's going on.
But our experience told us otherwise. So it's very different to voice the news, you know, sitting on the sofa, and another thing to see it in reality is the destruction of a golf club where you have played since the age of six. So thanks God her golf skills are returning to the previous high level, and academically she's doing quite well now. She's able to compete internationally again, all of which, of course, makes me very proud as a mom.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, UC Davis has a great program, so I know at least she'll have a lot of really good support there. And you just kind of touched on it a little bit. Could you give us a bit of an overview, Veronica, of golf in the Ukraine? I know some of this might have changed since February, of course, but whether it's popular, if there's decent access to golf course, and I know that is very much so a moving picture, sadly, in 2022.
Yeah, it's very different to what we had before the war and to what we have now. So as you might know, I was working for Ukrainian Golf Federation. So, and for me, that journey started when I visited the first time St. Andrews with Elvira, as she was participating in the Junior Open representing Ukraine. And I realized at that time, you know, that there was so much more that could be done to develop the game in my country. So I returned to Ukraine thinking that if I can't help golf development in my country, I'll never forgive myself. And this became my drive, my goal. So I started to work for Ukrainian Golf Federation to develop golf in all aspects of the work, ladies, junior, disabled golf. And I must admit, we made extraordinary progress in the development of golf in Ukraine. We are very proud of our contribution today in expanding the growth and interest in the game in Ukraine, especially in regard to the participation of women.
It's really important and really great to hear that, actually, that there was a lot of women doing. Were you based in Kyiv when you were doing that?
Yes, I was based in Kyiv, and I left Kyiv only when the war started. So it was in March, in a few days after the war started and the Russian army was approaching Kyiv.
What's it been like for you this year?
It's a big change, and now it's a very different life, not our normal one, you know. I keep thinking one day we will all wake up to find it was just a bad dream. We're all different now. When we smile, to be honest, we cry inside. I know that my kids and other kids will remember forever what they have seen. And any loud noise reminds them of the bombing. So for my family, the war started in Kyiv, as I said, in the very, very early morning was the call from my mother screaming three words, "War, run now." So my story of escaping from Kyiv, you can read in the Times, but it's honestly simply impossible for anyone who hasn't experienced the war to imagine what is to be in our situation. These screams, explosions, tanks, running, injured people, alerts. Of course, all of this will stay with me and in my head for my whole life.
Your family, are they all okay? Is your mom all right as well?
Yeah, my parents are in Ivano-Frankivsk, and the parents of my husband are also here because they are from Zaporizhia, which is very, very dangerous now, place to stay. So we relocated them as well to the Western Ukraine. Yeah.
Veronica, in terms of, you know, amidst everything that's happened to you and your family, mm-hmm. and your country, can you kind of talk to us about the role, you know, that golf played in yours and your family's life? I guess in regards to this year and in the kind of, I don't know, the benefits or how you found that role to maybe change throughout the year or if it has?
Yeah, it's a good question. The first time I had the chance to play golf again was in April in Belgium, when we moved mm-hmm. to Belgium with my family, with the daughters, in fact, because Elvira was in the US and I took my daughters and we escaped to Belgium. So our host family invited us to play the golf, the round of golf, just in a club event the day after we arrived. And I simply couldn't hold the club at that stage, you know. So it felt as if I were betraying my country. Mm. It took me a while to return to a golf course, and I started to play again to improve my just my health, because I needed to return to some normality for the sake of my kids, of course. And golf for me was the best medicine. To be on the golf course again, to play some rounds, to be together with my kids, to spend my time with my family, to have this extraordinary feeling again. It was super important, as I said, for my health. And that's why I started to play again. But honestly, I can't play a lot. It's very emotional for me, and it's very hard, yeah.
I know you're using the game to kind of help open up the lives of other people, you know, through that process, whether, you know, you're quite ready to get back into it or not. But even before, you were a part of the RNA Women in Golf Leadership Program.
Yes.
As well. Can you tell us a little bit about that, if you would?
Yes, from October 2021, I've had the good fortune to be enrolled in the Women in Golf Leadership Program, a development program 2022. I'm in cohort 5. The program is and was open to signatories of the Women in Golf Charter. And when I used to work for Ukrainian Golf Federation also joined the Women in Golf Charter. And this program is aimed at supporting the development and progression for women who have the potential to become future leaders within the golf industry. And I was really lucky to be part of this amazing group of ladies I have now supporting me and my family and Ukrainian junior golfers.
And from that, as I understand it, the group of Project Ukraine came about. What are the aims? And maybe perhaps if you could, you know, tell us a little bit about the kids that you're working with through that program.
Yeah, Project Ukraine was born, in fact, was founded by this group of eight female leaders from across the global golf industry enrolled in this the R&A Women in Golf Leadership Development Program. The girls now, it's my lifelong friends, say they took inspiration from me. That when one day I showed up on the workshop, but the war already was in Ukraine, so they didn't expect me to show up on the workshop, but I did. I couldn't imagine me not to participate at that time. So I think they were just excited and shocked at the same time. So the war was near Kiev, and I'm sure you saw in the news what was happening at that time. But I couldn't imagine not participating, as I wanted the world to know and hear what Ukraine is facing, what my country is facing. And one of the channels for me was at that time my group of women leaders from the golf community to speak to them and to tell what is happening. So I was carrying out voluntary work when our mentor Alison called me with the wonderful news. The group project will be focused on support for Ukraine. And the question was just one to me: am I ready for this? And my whole body was screaming, yes, of course. I hung up and cried, and it was so emotional that people I knew for such a short time, you know, agreeing to change the whole strategy in order to help me and my country. And the main aim of the project is to support young people and their families, on the ones that are on the Ukrainian Golf Federation performance development pathway, to continue their ambitions in golf, and as well as in education. It keeps, just imagine how important for these kids, because their project aims to keep them safe from the devastation of the war on Ukraine, get them back to the golf tee, and try to we are trying to provide sustainable living arrangements post project as well. So we identified 17 junior golfers, the ones that require assistance and support, and including 7 golfers that were looking to relocate outside of the Ukraine. We hope it can be extended later to other families that I need. Yeah, but at the moment, these are the kids we are helping. These are the golf juniors with the ages of 11 to 22, range of handicaps from 1 to 24. Many have been forced to relocate around Europe and even further afield. For many of these young people, they aspire to become professional golfers. So, of course, they say top-ranking amateurs, or at least to work in the golf industry. So, yeah, golf is both a passion and a lifetime ambition for these kids.
Are there any kids that you kind of, you know, that you're in contact with but kind of can't access or get to because of the war? And maybe perhaps how can we help facilitate that kind of contact and spread the word as well?
Yeah, this has been especially challenging for our male national team players. Permission to travel out of Ukraine, as you can imagine, to compete in international competitions has not always been possible. But we did our best, yeah, to be in touch with all the kids and families. We did surveys to find out what the needs are, you know, but yeah, so we are in touch with all the kids now, even they are everywhere in the world.
Veronica, you mentioned all the benefits to so many people of playing golf. What is it that you get out of it? What is it that's so important about playing golf to you?
For me, as I said, it's just about family. You know, family and being together for many hours when you are away from your phones, from your work, when you are concentrating not only on the game, but you have time to experience, it's like family life, you know, for me, because as I said, my whole family is playing and we are discussing golf even when we are at home. When it's some type of relaxation, it's some type for me to be mentally and emotionally more healthy. When I go to the golf course, I concentrate on my game. I try to concentrate on the game, on my kids. I try not to think about what is happening back in my country and what is happening to my friends, to my relatives, you know. So, yeah, golf plays a big, big role in my life. And it changed my life. It changed the life of my kids. It opened the door to many, many possibilities. Let's speak about Elvira. She's in the US. It's a dream place for many kids, you know. Now, two other kids were welcomed by some schools in Europe. Again, it was because of the golf. So golf is opening doors, to possibilities.
It's amazing, isn't it, what golf can do? In fact, many sports, many hobbies. How easy is it for anyone in Ukraine to still get out and enjoy their hobbies and their pastimes at the moment?
It really depends on the region, you know. Some regions are very dangerous. And of course, it's not possible to enjoy any regular leisure activity and golf as well. But what I think Estonia is the outside world is enormous resilience and patriotism of the Ukrainian nation. We run to bomb shelters, honestly, with our putters, because we play golf. So we take the putters. I can send you some pictures later when golfers, ladies.
I would love to see this.
Yeah.
Me too.
Playing golf with their putters in the parking spots, you know, because some bomb shelters are in the parking, where the parking is in the houses.
I imagine as well, when you went to St. Andrews, what was the reaction of people that you were meeting there?
Oh, it was the best day of the lives of all of us, of the kids, for me. It was such a big, a huge success. People we met, they were so supportive, all of them. And kids were so excited to experience what they in fact experience. As you know, that we were based at the McDonald Cardona Hotel Golf and Spa in Peebles, and we benefited, the golfers benefited from high quality coaching and clinics and health and nutrition sessions and mental skills and rules and golf workshops. So we had a full schedule, and as you just mentioned, we on Sundays, the group were invited to the final day of the Alfred Dunhill Links Championships in St. Andrews by the Deep World Tour. And many, many surprises were there, as you know, for kids, waiting for kids. They didn't expect that, yeah. But we experienced huge support from everyone we met.
You touched on some of the surprises, one of which was that you got to meet some pretty big names, yes. You know, in world golf this year, in the likes of Rory McIlroy, Ryan Fox, who ended up winning that week. What was that like for you and the kids?
Yeah, speaking about Rory McIlroy, what we did, as we were thinking that it might be possible, you know, the group was thinking it might be possible to make such a surprise for the kids. I approached each family, each kid, and I was asking, who is the best player for you? So, and of course, many of them, they said Rory McIlroy. So, as you can imagine, the reaction has been incredible when they people... Yeah, so during the trip, the children also were interviewed live on Sky Sports and met Rory McIlroy and Adrian Meronk, and their dreams have come true. So they shook the hand of Rory McIlroy.
Oh, they I bet as well, now that he's number one, they're all like, oh, we've met him.
Yes, and my daughter, because she, on the picture, she stayed next to Rory, she told me in the evening, I'm not going to wash my shoulder. for many, many weeks, and we were laughing, and yeah, so the kids had the welcome message from Tommy Fleetwood, which is a dream for any junior. Yeah, unfortunately, all these kids have suffered. But for the Project Ukraine, it was really vital to keep them away from that for at least for a short time. And I think we managed, you know, really managed.
Yeah, you mentioned Adrian Meronk. Who are the golfing idols to kind of to look up to? Because I know he's the first, you know, man from Poland to win on the DP World Tour. Is he somewhat of a potential idol? And or do they just kind of, is it just, well, after that meeting, is it just Rory, all about Rory?
Yeah, of course, Rory, Fleetwood, they know the names. But Poland is, as you know, Poland is supporting Ukraine quite well. And we are very thankful to Poland as a country. So for us, it was very important for these kids not just to meet Rory and to watch the best players, but also to meet such people as this Polish player that has such a successful already story to share. And he was very kind to find time to come to the kids, to shake hands, to speak, to answer the questions. And it was another great experience for the kids, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that was a very good combination, you know, of well-known players at the same time to meet some players that are on this pathway already. And when he said I played with Tiger Woods, I think he mentioned, the kids weren't like, yeah, wow. So yeah, it was very, very good combination of these surprises, you know, and as well as a photo taken with Ryan Fox, as you know. Yeah.
Sounds that, like it was a very successful trip, to be perfectly honest.
Yes, and the photo was unplanned completely, and it was an incredible moment, of course, for the children. They were invited to pose for a picture, as you know, with the champion on the famous Swilcan Bridge, and this moment, this is a moment they will never, never, never forget. It was, many people asked me, how did it work? But it was a combination of teamwork, my very, very strong desire, faith that this should happen. And of course, the incredible kindness of the winner. Now my dream is to meet him one day and to say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I know I will meet him.
Yeah. Veronica, you're back in Ukraine now, aren't you? And how can people listening help support Project Ukraine?
We are now in the planning phase for the 2023. So the project continues now to support young people participating in golf events, in competitions, find coaches, education memberships, and accesses to golf facilities. So if anybody would like to find out more or how they can get involved or support Project Ukraine, they should get in touch with us via projectukraine@randa.org. All support, great or small, is hugely appreciated, and we will never forget this, and it will never be forgotten. That's very important for Ukrainian juniors.
Okay, well, look, there's going to be, I believe, a GoFundMe set up to support the project shortly, so we will let listeners know about that as soon as we know what it is. Your email address, Veronica mentioned just there, by the way, again, projectukraine@rna.org. And thank you, Veronica, so much for your time today. It feels like a bit of good news, doesn't it, Ali, to emerge from a country that's just had so little this year, and also a great testament of the power of the golfing community.
The vision and seeing it through the way you are and providing moments like you have this year for those young kids, it's really something else, and it's a joy to listen to. A privilege. Yeah,
thank you. And thank you also for supporting the project by spreading the word. So it's also very important for us, you know, that more people get to know about the project and how they can support these kids.
Introducing you to inspiring women like Veronica is what this show is all about. Iona Stevens has been doing that all year with her Iona Meets interviews, and this week's no different because she catches up with an Olympic hero, yes, Team GB's Eve Muirhead, who led her team to curling gold in Beijing earlier this year. Now, Ali, I don't know if you know about Eve, right? She's really good at golf, okay? And when I was at a pro-am earlier in the autumn, she was also there. And you know, you scroll down and you look at everyone's handicaps. She's got a very, very low one. She's so good. I mean, I'm amazed that she's not a pro golfer, to be honest. Anyway, we were there both at Wentworth back in September, and she was showing off her significant skills with club in hand.
First of all, it's really great to see you. And congratulations on not only what you've achieved in all of the curling and everything in that sport, but also what you've achieved in golf, because you are a very talented golfer. How and when did you start playing golf?
Yeah, so I started playing golf when I was about 8, 9 years old. And I remember my dad, he played a bit of golf. And when you're younger, it was a fun sport to play, wasn't it? And a few friends at school also wanted to give it a go. So I remember phoning up my dad, and he'd come and pick me up when I was coming down the 18th and drop my clubs off at the clubhouse when I was walking up after school. And I'm very sporty, so if I start any sport, I want to be really good at it. Uh-huh. And that's, I guess, why I stuck at golf. And unfortunately, after a few years, I had to decide either curling or golf, and I went for the curling route.
Wow, that is quite a decision to have to make. And obviously, curling have had the benefit of that. The world has had the benefit of that because of your wonderful success on the curling rink. Obviously, golf's lost, but now we hear rumours that you are really keen to get the clubs out the cupboard and take to the golf course. Is that true?
Well, the way the first few holes went today, no, definitely not true. I'm definitely going to play more golf if I can. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to play at any other level than what I do. I know that. I don't have enough time to give it to play a kind of higher level, but it's such a great sport to be able to play just socially. I can get it around in a decent number. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky enough I get invited to play a lot of nice courses. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, that's good enough. And I want to get away from putting pressure on myself to perform. Mm-hmm. Because I've done that for the last 15-20 years curling, and the reason I retired from curling was one of them, is I just need to stop putting so much pressure on myself. I need to stop being as competitive as I am, and just enjoy what time I have ahead of me. So I'm gonna play a bit more golf, yes, but just for fun.
You're being very modest because you're making it sound like, you know, you just dabble in a bit of golf. Share with us your handicap.
Well, I am off 3 just now. Uh-huh. But realistically, that should definitely be going up and up.
Oh, I don't believe that.
There's moments that there's moments that I play great, but there's also moments you're like, oh, where did that come from? But it's your short game, I find. Like, yeah, not playing my short game around the greens just completely goes. Mm. I'm quite lucky, like, off the tee, I'm pretty consistent. On the greens, I'm pretty consistent. I guess that comes with a kind of touch feel, along with being similar to curling in that respect. But anything in between can be a little wayward sometimes.
A 3 handicap is something that I think many people would give their back teeth for. So you're in a great spot there with your golf. What comparisons can you draw between the sport of curling and the sport of golf?
There's quite a lot of comparisons, to be honest. It's interesting. A lot of Canadian curlers, like top class curlers, are actually pro golfers. And I think a lot of it comes with that kind of touch and feel, especially around greens. You've got to obviously read the greens. Curling, you've got to read the speed of the ice, the curl in the ice, very similar to golf. I guess it's different in terms of team sport, individual sport. But when you have like your caddy alongside you in golf, like you work as a team. Mm-hmm. And curling, you're always working as a team. You're mm-hmm. trying to help each other. So quite a lot of different comparisons. But they seem to gel quite well to make it all round very similar, the sports.
Are you able to compare what it's like being a woman in golf to how it felt being a woman in curling?
I'm sure I can. Obviously, I can say what it's like being a woman in curling. Being a woman at high level golf, I don't know, but I can imagine it being very similar. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, it's tough. Mm-hmm. It's very, very tough at the top end of elite sport. There's times that you just don't want to continue. You want to throw away your shoes or throw away your clubs and pack it up. It's frustrating. But do you know what? There's been times that I have wanted to quit. There's been times that I've been going through a lot of very hard times. But you've got to remember that there's always light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. There's always people around to help you. Mm-hmm. And if I was to give one bit of advice, it would be if you need help, ask for help. Mm-hmm. I kept a lot of stuff to myself for so, so long. And I think that kind of snowballed into bigger and bigger until I finally did get help. And then I came through the back of it winning the Olympic gold medal. So, I think women in sport is something that I'd like to think is getting better. I love the way you turn on the TV now, you see the women football. I was at a rugby game last week. Women's golf's getting a little bit more coverage now, which is fantastic. And I think it's just great that it's getting bigger. But I think the only way to make it even bigger is keep pushing it and, mm-hmm. and keep pushing for more publicity and more women faces around, I think. Mm. If anyone asked me what sport should I take up, of course I would say curling, but right now I think I would say golf because mm-hmm. I think it's got so many benefits. Mm. I also do believe that golf is such a great kind of mental health escape. It's a game that you can get out in the fresh air, you can spend time chatting to friends, you can spend time on your own, and I just think it's got so many benefits. I'd honestly tell anyone to take up golf. I think it's such a fantastic sport.
Oh, well, we're delighted that you enjoy it so much. We're grateful for your time today, and I hope that me and you can get a game together.
Absolutely.
That would be great.
A little bit more fun.
Me and you both. Eve, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I told you she's a good golfer. I mean, is it a coincidence that all these brilliant sports stars are just brilliant at not just their main sport, but also golf?
Isn't it? Yeah, the crossover is really, it's so constant. And that's the thing that, yeah, like you say, you're highlighting. The one thing that I do always find interesting is when reactory, you know, sports play well at golf, because the ball's not moving in golf, which is why it brings some people that maybe reflex sports don't come naturally to them. It actually brings them into the fray as well. But I do think there's so much, so much mental strength and mental fortitude and skill sets that can be drawn from golf as well that help in other sports. Like I know that Steph Gilmore and Kelly Slater, who are both, you know, world champion surfers, you know, Steph won the whole thing this year and in the 2022 season, and Kelly's done it a million times, but you know, they talk about the calm, the planning, you know, and the concept of you kind of rolling with your fate but also trying to create your fate at the same time. So yeah, it's absolutely fascinating, the crossovers you see.
Yeah, you just see all these footballers and rugby players and cricketers and hockey players, and they all retire and they go, oh, well, we're just going to go and prove that we're brilliant at golf now. I mean, it's just really annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, they're not, you know, they're terrible. They can't have it all, can they? And then the answer is always, yes, they can. They're that good, which is also fun to see, especially when they raise the profile of golf around the world as well.
It does make you wonder if you'll ever see someone at the top competing in teams for both, like would you see a pro golfer taking, like, representing a country in golf and also in football or rugby, or is the training too intense for both that they wouldn't have the time, they'd have to select?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I guess the problem would probably be, it'd probably be more likely summer and winter, because I think the problem would be in the summer games is the scheduling within the games. So that, like, they, when I covered the Olympics last year, they asked me what other sports I wanted to do, and I said surfing's probably one that I'd be interested in. But because of the scheduling, and on with the surf, it was 2 hours away from the golf course on the coast, and so you couldn't physically do both, and they're always on standby. And they ended up finishing theirs in the first 4 days of their kind of window to get it completed. But it's interesting to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, are we going to see the crossover athletes? I'm trying to think of if we already have some. So I'm going to have to think and get back to you on that.
You're such an Australian saying that you do surfing. I had a surf lesson in Australia once. I couldn't even get my stomach off the board but you've got to jump. I mean, it was impossible. It's so hard.
I didn't say I could surf, Jenny. I just said I could probably cover it. So this is, up here. He went up the wave and did a twirly thing at the top. No, I'm kidding. I know it a little bit better than that. But I know. We like to be typecast. There's nothing wrong with a stereotype every now and then. Is it?
Sure. Okay, well, look, we're going to release Iona's full chat with Yves Muirhead as a bonus episode in the next couple of weeks. So do listen out for that. And also make sure you subscribe so you don't miss it. You don't miss the next episode of the Women's Golf Show either. And you can also get in touch with the show at any point on Instagram or Twitter using the hashtag TWGS. Now, Ali, you will be back before the end of the year for a very special episode of the Women's Golf Show. You'll be super excited to know there are rumours of a major edition of your favourite par 3, par 4, par 5. Look at that. She's suddenly busy.
I wouldn't miss it, even though that might keep me up at night until it happens. But it'll be great for us all to hopefully get back together and see out the year, because, you know, what a year it's been. And it's been great to cover some of the stories that we have, especially, you know, hearing from Veronica today. That one really got me. And I hope we get the chance to support her in her quest going forward as well with Project Ukraine.
Indeed. Look, where are you off to next?
Off to South Africa next weekend. Yeah. Okay. South Africa, Dubai, Brisbane, Melbourne are the next four events.
Okay, just keeping it sunny. Enjoy. 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 It's been lovely to catch up. And thank you as well for listening. Until next time from us both. Bye-bye.